And one more announcement that I had forgot. Linda Stanton had a hip replacement a few weeks ago, and she's out of the hospital, but nobody's been in touch with her the last few days, so nobody really knows where she's at. So we need to keep her in our...
She's home.
She's doing good? Okay, good. Good. So Linda Stanton is out of the surgery, doing good, and maybe we continue to keep praying for her. All right. Daniel 12. Title of my remarks today, It Can't Be Long Now. Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of the days. It can't be long now. As we watch the headline news, we see Russia and Syria, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Israel. We know that the angels of the Lord are very busy at work. We have wars, rumors of wars. In the U.S., there is devastating floods a few weeks ago in the Carolinas, now in Texas, and it happening as we speak in New Orleans today. Fires everywhere, mudslides. And just a couple days ago, the highest winds ever recorded from a hurricane at 200 miles per hour. And Hurricane Patricia making landfall with 165 mile per hour winds. There is drought, there's famine in many countries. There's viruses that eat our flesh, superbugs that the antibiotics won't fight. Almost all governments corrupt. Legalization of gay couples in this country. And it's not only this country, it's been legal in quite a few other ones for a while. The discovery of oil in Israel. In Iran, getting the go-ahead to, with U.S. cash support, to build a nuclear facility that could eventually bring a bomb to the nation of Israel. Global warming, murder, suicide rates are increasing. The refugees that we see leaving the countries, the homeless. And this sad list can go on for hours. When Christ returns to the earth, and the resurrection and the judgment are through, how much joy and enthusiasm will we have if we are immortalized to be able to share in this rulership over the earth, where we can reign with Christ as kings and priests. Revelations 5, 9 and 10. Very familiar to us. Revelations 5, 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then back a couple chapters in Revelation 2, I'll read 26 through 29. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the ecclesias. We also have an election coming up next year. And we have probably all seen some of the debates, or have seen some of these candidates that are running, some with all of their glamour. But all of these running for President of the United States of America. Now, we can be given a title that far exceeds and is much more greater than that of a president or a governor. And our term will not be limited, but limitless. It will last longer than 4 or 8 years. We will be the righteous ones of God, knowing and doing His will perfectly forever and ever. So let it be. We know the coming doom that is to happen in Israel to the people, to their beliefs, and to their land. But this appointed day has been declared by Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18 read, And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Psalms 122. Starting at verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And then over to Psalms 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are around about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. And as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. We believe that what these scriptures say about the past, about the present, and the future are all true, and there will be peace. And this is not just in Jerusalem, but over the entire globe. God did not make the earth to be filled with all of the violence and the hatred that we see. Man has brought this upon ourselves. God has only provided another means by which our fleshly ways can be forgiven, a plan of salvation, a plan of reconciliation for us, which could bring us back into His loving arms. Man desires what is in his heart, and God is not in most men's hearts anymore. And we, just a few of His chosen ones, at somewhere, sometime in our lives, we have made a decision that our desires, that all of our desires, should and would be unto Him. That we would put away the uncleanness from our hands and in our hearts, and become a living sacrifice unto the God of all mercies and of all comfort. Some brethren in our ecclesia have been baptized for a number of years now. And did you ever think back then that it wouldn't be long until Jesus was here? And again, I'm not trying to discourage, but since I have been baptized, I know that I have thought it quite a few times that Christ was coming, and He hasn't. But we still patiently wait. When the time is right, He will come. Everything in the world right now is being set in order to prepare for His arrival. And so not only are the people being set in order by God, like our leaders and our presidents, but the weather and the topography of the land is also being formed to be just right at His coming. Psalms 104, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 104, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. And when you think back to all of the Bible persons that we have read and studied over our lives, how many of them thought that the kingdom would come in their lifetime, especially the ones who were witnessing Christ on the earth? Look over in Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and He said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Here He appears to the 11 before His ascension to give them understanding of Scripture, of what to preach acceptably. And as we read, they were filled with great joy. And it didn't take long, as their lives went on, that it became not so joyous anymore, waiting for their Lord. How often did they think that it wouldn't be long now? The meaning of the gospel was revealed to them. They preached, they suffered, and then they died. We live our lives out to 70, to 80, to 90 years old, and then we die. Those of us whom are in covenant will be awakened to stand at judgment. And when we think about the little time that we've used up concerning eternity, it won't be long now. Imagine living to be 800 or 900 years old, like Adam or Noah, and happen to wait for the kingdom to come. Now, this truly would have required some patience. I think that all believers, from Adam to you and I, have awaited the Lord's return with some kind of anticipation. The sorrows of this life are very grievous and distressing, especially if we are not of the Lord. And even being with Him does not mean that everything is always going to go so great. Just look at Jesus' life and the things that He endured. But again, the sorrows and the suffering of this world are enough for anyone to want them to end, and it can't be long now. Psalm 90. Psalms 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger, even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish Thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. In verse 14 of this psalm of Moses, it says that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And how are we going to do this in such a sorrowful place to live? Notice in verse 15, he asks God to make him glad. If we are not in constant prayer, if we are not humble enough to ask for help, or to ask God for knowledge, or for to even be happy, we're not going to get it. God does not owe us anything. We owe Him. We weren't made to bring honor and glory to ourselves, but so much the more to our Creator. Verse 13 says, Return, O Lord, how long? What a beautiful thought that Moses, think about this, what a beautiful thought that Moses doesn't want to spend any of his time without God in his presence. He realizes his weaknesses, being only man, and he knows that we rely on all of his tender mercies. He saw the power of God's punishments in his anger, and he saw the love and the beauty of all of his works. And no matter what it was, Moses relied, he trusted in God, and God was with him. We live in the times now where a certain generation of people will not even experience a physical death, and we all hope that it might be us. But Moses, Abraham, David, they all knew that the kingdom was not going to happen in their lifetime. I don't know if they felt the anticipation as we do, knowing that the turn of events could happen at any time. But they all believed in the inheritance, and it will be given to them. Moses' life was dedicated to serving God. He instructed many believers how to live and perform their duties to God, and therefore helped many more become heirs of the kingdom. Moses knows that after he dies, that Israel will turn aside from their way, the way that he had commanded them to, because of how their faith lacked. But he continues on steadfastly as the Lord had commanded him. In Deuteronomy 34, I read verses 7 through 12. Deuteronomy 34, verses 7 through 12. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom for Moses, and laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all of Israel. Truly Moses was a dedicated man to do all that he did, and now sleeps, awaiting the arrival of his Savior. It won't be long now till ones like Moses and Abraham and David, Job, and even Adam and Eve will stand face to face with the Prince of Peace to receive their just reward. And all that we read and all that we study about Christ should be very inspirational to all of us. We know that he came and he fulfilled his Father's will wholeheartedly. But imagine the emotions of the Old Testament people when they meet Christ. And we can sort of put a picture together of his life, we can, and the love that he showed. But they didn't have much to go on other than what the prophets had said, and they knew that the Messiah was coming. They didn't have all the fine details that we have. And they knew that he was coming to take away the sins of the world. We too will stand face to face with this man also. So, are we looking forward to it? Have we given up all of our earthly cares of this world to serve our Master? Romans chapter 14. Starting at verse 1. Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Are we all ready to give this account of ourselves to Christ? And are we ready to be granted eternal life? Each of us know where we are in our relationship with God. We know the things that we have to do, but do we do them? God is not going to force us through our lives to do good. We have to make our own decisions if we want to please our Heavenly Father. If not, then we only want to please ourselves. With time running out, we don't want to waste it by pleasing ourselves. Do we read that Moses' life was full of joy and happiness? Well, what about Christ? Answer is no. The joy will come in the kingdom age. In this kingdom age, the enthusiasm to learn the ways of God will be felt worldwide. People will feel much desire to learn of these ways that will come from all ends of the earth to Jerusalem in order to gain a more perfect understanding of God and His plan. There will not be Republicans and Democrats or independents or communists. There will be one universal legal code, the Word of the Lord. And this will be pronounced by Christ from Jerusalem. There will be so many people who will appreciate this basis of God's plan of salvation. People's discussions will revolve more around spiritual things rather than the sick things, which is in the present days people's thinking. In his days shall the righteous flourish. Psalms 72, verse 7. Psalm 72, verse 7. In his day shall the righteous flourish in an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Up in Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And another one in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 21 through 25. Isaiah 65, 21 through 25. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, And the lion shall eat straw like the bullocks, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Also, there will be no more work in a lifetime to make others rich. Back in Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 35, 1 through 7. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. The prophecy of how infertile land will be changed, making life easier for those who will be working it. And we read in verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 65, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, natural enemies brought together by the hand of God. With Satan being bound during the millennium, people will live longer lives, women will have less sorrow in childbirth, the lame man will leap, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. Our children are going to grow up in the streets of Jerusalem, not being persuaded by the wickedness of the world around, but persuaded by the righteous saints and the angels to love the Lord thy God with all their hearts. Let us all be persuaded in the love of God, because it won't be long now. And in closing, I'd like to read the last couple paragraphs in Elpis Israel on page 453. When enlightened by the Lord, this will be the judgment of the sects and denominations, pagan, Mohammedan, papal, and Protestant, which now, as a covering spread over all nations, darkens their understandings and alienates them from the life of God. But when the King of Israel and his saints shall rule the world, all these superstitions will be forever abolished, and mankind will be one faith and practice. They will speak one religious language and serve Yahweh with unanimity. For says he, then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord with one consent. This must indeed be the Lord's doing. For who among men has the wisdom, knowledge, and power to bring the nations to speak intelligibly on religious subjects and to be of one religion? The sword only can prepare the way for this. Mankind must be made to lick the dust like a serpent before they will consent to change their creeds for eternal truth. Judgment will bring them to reason, and they will say at length, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Under such teaching as this, the work will be accomplished. As to Israel, the Lord will have gotten them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame, and have made them a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. All nations shall call them blessed, for they shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Instead of being a byword and a reproach as at this day, the Gentiles will glory in their patronage. For in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Yes, the kingdom and throne of David will then be in their midst again, in Christ, the Lord God, and the Holy One of Israel, sitting upon it in power and great glory. The gospel of the kingdom will be no longer a matter of hope, but a reality. And those who have believed it and submitted cheerfully and lovingly to the law of faith and the obedience it requires, and have perfected their faith by works meet for repentance, will be shining as the brightness of the firmament and as the stars forever and ever. This is the hope of Israel, which is set before men in the gospel, and for which Paul was bound with a chain. It is very different from one that exhibited in pulpit theology, yet it is that which must be embraced as the soul's anchorage, if a man would be saved and inherit the kingdom of God. With that, we will stand and sing our memorial hymn, which is hymn number 156. Deck thyself, my soul, with gladness. Put away thy robes of sadness. Hymn number 156. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. Turn over, if you will, with me to John 18. John chapter 18, picking up at verse 37. 37 through 40. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and he saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. In John 19, continuing on, verses 1 through 3, And Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Verses 6 and 7. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him. For I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Down to 14 through 16. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus, and they led him away. 26 through 28. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And then, finishing up, 34 through 37. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. As we come to the table this morning, I wondered if Jesus ever thought before he had died that it won't be long now. Is it almost over? As he's waiting to die on the tree, being in agony, physically and emotionally, more than we could ever even imagine in our hearts. Before he was even put on the tree, what about the deep emotional strain that he had? It had to be quite substantial. Imagine knowing that your time was up. And not just a few hours or a few days before, but your entire life. How many of us would run from these circumstances that he was in? And he had the power to. Christ had many options to take. He was always choosing the right one, which helps us be able to see, know, and appreciate his great love for us even more. His willingness to make those right decisions was why his Father in heaven was so pleased with him, as we read in John 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This man was made of flesh and blood. He would feel tired like we do. He probably got headaches, and he probably got sick like we do. He was tempted like us in all ways. And again, he never chose the wrong path. And that word that I said this morning in class, Jesus was convicted. But he took on the same nature so he could experience these things that we do think and feel. And that word there, took, that he took, is important. He had no choice but to take the nature we bear. But he took it upon himself. He had a choice, like as we do. He didn't have to do all this. Hebrews 2, 9 through 14. Hebrews 2, 9 through 14. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the ecclesia will I sing praise unto thee. Saying, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise, he took part of this same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. I believe that by the end of his 33 years of life, Jesus had probably seen enough effects of sin to realize the hopelessness of this world and of its inhabitants. We were all hopeless without his great sacrifice. Many people have tried to build kingdoms and to reign as the king, but their kingdoms have and will always fall. By Christ's sacrifice, he himself knew that there could be hope given to the human race, and that there would be a true king and a kingdom that could stand forever. And we know by the time that he was 12, he most assuredly knew of his final destination as a mortal. So as he hung from the tree, suffering for us, did he ever think it won't be long now? He felt the sting of death. He tasted death. And Philippians 2:8 says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We can't even be obedient for one day. God knows how much we need his forgiveness and his mercy. And how thankful are we to have been given the understanding of what this memorial does and represents for us. So are we thankful for his loving sacrifice, which delivers our souls from the power of the grave and the power of death, and which we would be all condemned to without this great sacrifice that we come to remember now? All the millions of people all around the world meeting for this breaking of bread ceremony, not understanding what this memorial truly represents. How privileged we are. It is in these quiet surroundings that God has brought each of us together, a small group of believers, a few brothers and sisters, to reflect upon his son's sufferings, to take these emblems with proper attention to what they represent, and also examining our own conscience upon what we have learned in Scripture. This is our greatest expression of love towards him in keeping this breaking of bread service. Together, breaking this bread service together, as it is also an act of fellowship wherein these emblems represent the center point of our hope. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia daily such as should be saved. So not only did the apostles continue in this commandment, but they that believed them. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. For we, being many, are one, and only share our true positions with those of like precious faith, having been baptized into Christ's saving name through the blood of the covenant. And one more reading in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Having gone through his painful death, and being buried in the earth for 3 days, he awoke and soon ascended into heaven. His mortal life work was done. Now, sitting on the right hand of God, is it possible again that he might be standing and thinking it won't be long now? Let us hope so and pray for the coming of our dear Lord and our Savior, whom we will remember now after reading our instructions in 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If we will stand, and I'll call upon Brother Mac for the prayer for the bread. just a reminder for everybody to stay seated after the prayer for a couple minutes. Our closing hymn will be anthem number 4, Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem.